I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What have you forgotten to be grateful for? Now, I want to share one memory that stands out. The summer after fifth grade, I was headed up to Camp Furwood. See, the cooler looking one is the one who was on the drums today. The one in the sun hat and Crocs is who you get with right now. Now, I was excited, as you could tell with that picture, but when we arrived, there was a problem. A recent norovirus outbreak at Furwood had triggered stricter health checks. So I was asked, has anyone at home been sick recently? And in a rare instance of complete honesty from 11-year-old Gabe, I said yes. I was told, of course, that I could not stay, and I was devastated. So I got back on the bus with just the driver and his wife, Randy and Debbie Larson. Yeah. So I marched my sad little self to the back row, flopped down, and began to sulk. And they, of course, could tell that I was miserable. I definitely wasn't making it subtle. So they decided to do something to help. So on the way back, we stopped for ice cream. Now, after the ice cream, when we got back on the bus, I sat up front, a little less sad and a lot more grateful. That simple, generous gift changed my whole attitude. Small acts of kindness like this spark gratitude, which is a key part of being connected to Jesus and each other. This does make me wonder, though, what other memories like this one have I forgotten to be grateful for? And that begs today's question again, what have you forgotten to be grateful for? After all, a lack of gratitude is often just a lack of memory. Just as I need to remember this memory with the Larsons to be grateful for it and to grow from it, we must always make an effort to remember gratitude, pursue growth, practice generosity, and embrace grace. And those are the four G's we're exploring today: gratitude, growth, generosity, and grace. So let's start with G number one, gratitude. It is not just a feeling, but a transformative power that ignites true growth. It softens our hearts, and it strengthens our memory, and it reshapes our perspective. Because, like I said a moment ago, just in case you've already forgotten, a lack of gratitude is often a lack of memory. And of all that we have to be grateful for, what we most often forget is who the Lord is and what He's done for us. Which is why we see so many reminders to remember throughout Scripture. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Remember how the Lord your God led you. We always thank God for all of you. And our friend Paul, he echoes these verses to the Philippians when he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Likewise, to this church, I say the same. I thank God every time I remember you. As believers in Philippi supported Paul, believers in this valley, you have supported me, guiding me and challenging me in my walk with Jesus, for which I am very grateful. Now you see, Paul's modeling gratitude here for us, and he's showing us how to express it. And this gratitude isn't just the occasional politeness. It's an essential spiritual posture that we ought to live out daily. So, who has God used to bless your life? And how will you express your gratitude? When reflecting on what the Lord's done and on the people He's placed in our lives, it should be hard not to be grateful. But it is. However, God doesn't call us to sit in the past. This gratitude grounds us, but God calls us to grow from that place of gratitude so that something fruitful can spring up from our lives. Which brings us to G number two, growth. Gratitude and growth are not the ultimate goal, though, because growth is not about arriving, but abiding in Jesus daily. Paul tells us in Philippians where growth begins. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, in other words, if there's anything for which to be grateful, then make my joy complete by being like-minded and growing into having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Paul is encouraging us to grow in unity and perspective. And this growth only occurs when we remain rooted in Christ. But how do we grow? Well, Jesus himself says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers." So, if you want to grow, you need to stay fully connected to Jesus, not grafting yourself in and out as you please. Now, I am no botanist, but I know that this would result in lots of dead, fruitless branches, which means you are either in Him and growing or cut off from Him. Which is it? So, in what ways can you be seeking this Christ-like growth? Because God calls us to ongoing growth through daily obedience, which includes spiritual practices like scripture, prayer, and fellowship, what we're doing today, right now. And growth fades when we become lazy, and it weakens when we let our gratitude slip. Paul emphasizes this same point to another early church, to the Colossians, encouraging them to continue living your lives in Him, in Jesus, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith, and overflowing with thankfulness, overflowing with gratitude. You see, gratitude and growth work together to strengthen our relationship with Jesus. And Peter, another New Testament writer, echoes this by saying, just as our dear brother Paul wrote, "Be on your guard and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord." And these verses remind us that we never outgrow God's grace. We never reach a point where we don't need the Lord's mercy, forgiveness, and love. Now, a few years back when I was on staff here, I was asked to help with Oktoberfest, our Halloween event. And see, I can't believe they got me to wear that. I'm just glad they didn't try to put me in a tutu. I wouldn't have been very happy then. Now, this was our Halloween event, and I was in charge of all things food. And while I love to cook and think I'm pretty good at it, I'd never worked an event this big. The Ark ladies were, and still are, a great team who knew what they were doing. And not wanting to seem out of place, I pretended I had everything under control. Even though I did not. And even though I was struggling. So I tried to figure it out alone until the stress caught up with me. And I finally asked for help. Asking for help was humbling. But it was a launch pad for growth. Now, I'm grateful for those ladies and everyone else who helped me, because without the growth that came from that experience, I would not have been ready for the bigger roles and challenges that I face today. So, as we root ourselves in Christ, our growth flows from our gratitude, a slow, quiet, daily process rooted in the grace we've already received, which enables us to help others grow. And that's because it's the natural outpouring of what God has already given to us. After all, His generosity is the source of everything. So, gratitude and growth inspire G number three, generosity. Jesus Himself even says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Put another way, the more we grow in Christ, the more we reflect His generous nature. Now, back in Philippians, Paul talks about generosity combined with a Christ-like perspective, saying, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now, this type of generosity isn't limited to offering baskets and ringing bells. To be generous like Jesus is to give the same things he gives us. These are things like our time, our resources, forgiveness, and encouragement. Now, so many people in this church family have been so generous to me, especially with their time and their mentorship. From my friends and their parents opening their homes for meals and advice, to older, wiser folks offering perspective on life. Now, one person in particular comes to mind. This person and I, we met volunteering a few years back at Royal Family Kids Camp, and we became unlikely friends. And that friendship, it led to conversations regarding career and calling. And one day, she offered me a job working for her at a local nonprofit. Now, her generosity with that opportunity and her mentoring along the way helped me discover my passion for that kind of work. And it ultimately led me to where I am today, learning how to pass along that same generosity by serving Jesus and his church. So, we ought to give these kinds of things that we're talking about because you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God, so that others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And this is because our generosity is a natural response to God's grace. And Christ-like generosity does not settle for good intentions or charitable feelings, but it multiplies into good works. And these good works point others toward a God who's full of grace. So how can you be generous in ways that point others to Jesus? Gratitude starts this journey, and growth sustains it. Generosity expresses the Father's love along the way. In G number 4, God's grace hold it all together. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Now, God is so full of grace, and he will never run out. In fact, it is by grace we have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves, but it is the gift of God. But resting in God's grace is a privilege we often overlook. Even though without his grace, we would be lost in a confusing world that's full of noise and pain. But by God's grace, we can hear him through that noise. And in spite of the pain we feel, we can see the firm foundation that all four of these G's are built upon. And that is the gospel. The gospel isn't just the starting point of faith. It is the sustaining power of a life rooted in Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We must never forget how humble and how selfless Jesus is, so that we can stay rooted in him. Now, this good news, the gospel, is that the cross was not the end for him, and it is just the beginning for us. He rose from the grave after dying for our sins, defeating death forever. And he's offering you new everlasting life. Even if you think that you are too far away from Jesus, he still loves you, and he still wants you. I mean, look at the guy whose letters we've been exploring today. Paul, who used to seek out and kill Christians, said, "Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So if someone who once sought to stamp out the faith can come to faith, doesn't that mean you can too? And this gospel is more than just a call and response. It is the only thing that can carry us through life. Without the gospel, gratitude is shallow. Growth is impossible. Generosity is meaningless. And grace is nowhere to be found. This church has been a vibrant reminder to me of the gospel and how God uses ordinary people to show his love to the world. I've seen it, and I've felt it. And the gratitude that I have grounds me. The growth it produces strengthens me. And generosity is simply my joyful service to a grace-filled and selfless Savior. So, family, who has God used to bless your life? And how will you express your gratitude? And in what ways can you be seeking Christ-like growth? Are you rooted in him? And how can you be generous in ways that point others to Jesus? And are you resting in the Lord's grace? In other words, what have you forgotten to be grateful for? Let's pray. Oh, Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for your amazing, unending grace and the generous gift of life you've given to each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, spur us on toward deeply rooted growth so that we might point others toward you. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for your love and your generous sacrifice on the cross. And to that, I hope we can all say, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.